girl, welcome to the Empower Her podcast, where we are all about taking purpose-driven action toward building lives we really freaking love. My name's Keisha, and I'm an entrepreneur obsessed with giving you actual tools to help take you from where you are now to where you want to go in your life, career, and relationships. And this podcast is all about real talk and having some fun as we share incredible stories, tips, and tricks to help us get out of our own way and unapologetically make some moves. So, girlfriend, let's do the damn thing.
What's up? I'm so excited that you're here for today's episode because we have on the show my girlfriend, Lori Harder. I love this woman. You're going to love this raw conversation. It's just going to feel like you're sitting with us chatting about all things. If you don't know Lori yet, she is the host of Earn Your Happy podcast, which has over 65 million downloads. She is a best-selling author. She's also the founder of Glossy, her new company, which is a skin routine that you can drink. Think of it like a hydration packet, but like has so much more oomph to it, especially if you're wanting to have really great skin. I love the taste of it. I've been drinking it since she released the product. So has my husband Cena. So anyways, we get in a little bit to the journey of her building out this company because it's been a wild ride of a lot of ups and downs. And I think you're really going to resonate with this episode in particular if you're finding yourself in like a very messy middle, whether that is in your career, in your business, just in life in general, where you're like running into a lot of resistance and you're just like, oh, am I ever going to figure this out? Am I ever going to get on the other end of this? So the conversation is super powerful. We also talk about things that I feel are really applicable to women in this community, maybe you specifically, around building your community or navigating like major pivots and transitions, business or career-wise, and like how to bring people along with you from a really tactical perspective. So you're really just going to love this conversation. Like I said, it's so raw and so refreshing. And I think you're just really going to feel inspired. And also like you could maybe like run through a wall after this. So without further ado, let's dive right in. Lori, oh girl, I am so excited to have you back on the show. Welcome.
I'm so excited to be here. I feel like I want like those machines that are like beep, beep, beep.
Ba-da-bow. A little drum roll for you.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to have a really juicy conversation because what I really want to do is just like soak up this time with you for the listeners and kind of like this idea that I had right before we hit record was like, Lori Harder through the eras, inspired by Taylor Swift, of just like, you have been through so much, like in your career. Obviously now I'm so grateful to even call you a friend and we've been connected for a really long time, but it's like, people maybe know your story or maybe they don't, but I don't even want to get into the nitty gritty of your story. I really just want to like point blank ask you, what are the main things that women in this community are struggling with? And maybe you can even just tie it to different seasons of your life. Just thinking of the Lori who was nervous to even like make a toast at her own wedding to this person that's now speaking on stages, building this epic company, which we're going to talk about, Glossy and all the things. So first thing, what I want to start with is to the woman right now who feels like she's got, and this is so many women that listen to Empower Her, and both you and I in different stages, where like she's got more in her and she's like, what the F am I supposed to do next? Because number one, I don't feel like I'm either capable of chasing that thing, or I'm telling myself I'm not smart enough, I'm not worthy of this, I'm not qualified. Oh, look at her, she can do that, but I can't do this. Let's jam on how we can support that woman right now.
Well, I love this question because Keisha, you and I never, ever, like no matter what new level you're at, you're challenging yourself in a new way. So I don't feel far from this woman at all. Like I feel like we share so much of the same emotions all because we do. It's just, is it at different levels? Sure. But it's all the same exact feeling. And, you know, I think that one of the cool things about starting my journey a long time ago in the fitness world is that I learned a lot about how results actually happen. And they take a much longer than you ever, ever think. So it's like, you're going to have to do a lot of little tiny things that are going to help you flex that muscle of realizing that you can do the big things, but it takes a lot of really small things in order to do that. So what would I say to that person right now? Well, if you can't spot it in your community, like in the community that is in your life right now, like in the ones that you can tangibly feel in touch, if you can't spot what you want to be and who you want to be, then you have to go into the rooms where you get to actually physically talk to and meet the people who have done the thing. And so if you're at home and you're like, this, you know, my current reality and my current circle of friends, like they're all kind of saying little things or whispering behind my back, or who do you think you are? Or you really think you're going to do that? Like, don't you know that you're still, you know, the first level of, let's just say what people said to me, like, you're still this version of Lori who likes to go out drinking and we see never kind of finish anything. And like, you think you're going to do that? And so for me, I had to go be like, okay, maybe I have to stop hanging out with these people for a little bit or lessen the amount that I'm spending time with them. And I have to go to an event or I have to go get in a room where there's women who are making it possible for me by me seeing them do it. So in order for you to even start feeling like it's possible, you do have to go and be in a room where other women are doing it, or it doesn't become possible to you. We put it like, we put it outside of us. We put it at a level where we put those women on a pedestal. And it's like, until I got in a room with women who had the same background as me, until I actually met another woman that didn't graduate high school like I did, and she was crushing it, like I used my excuses as pure limits. And so until you meet someone who's like, oh, I didn't graduate too, and just blows my story out of the water, like I don't get to hold on to that limiting belief anymore, then you're going to stick with that limiting belief.
Preach. It's so real. Like the physical in room, because obviously we can borrow belief from other people through podcasts. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's something that you and I and a lot of people, you know, listening into this podcast in general do. But there is a big difference when you're physically around them and you realize that some of these people that you're like, oh, she has it all figured out. You're like, she has no effing clue what she's doing. She just maybe has like done, you know, had more experience in the realm of it. So she's figured it out as she goes. Yep. And I think you're just like living, breathing proof of that. So I love that so much. Okay. One thing I want to like dig into a little bit is when someone is in this stage of telling themselves kind of like what you just talked about of like holding someone else on a pedestal where they're like, okay, I want to do this thing, but there's somebody else out there that's already doing it, right? That has more experience. Like, then maybe I shouldn't do this thing in the first place. Like, oh, maybe like good for her, but I could never do that. That is such a common belief that's holding people back, women back that are listening into this episode of, I want to start this podcast. I want to launch a product. I want to go start my own mastermind, my own event, but oh, she's already doing this. She must be doing it better than me. What would you say to her? And have you ever felt that way?
Yes, this happens. This has happened all the time. And actually, you're also going to, you know, in the beginning, a lot of times the fears that we have are actually, people are going to hate this, but they're actually kind of meant to come true so that those fears can stop holding you back. And so, I mean, I don't want this to not get people started. What I want is for them to realize that if something happens around that fear, and I'll explain this in a second, but if something happens around that fear or that worst fear of like, well, if I go and do it and, you know, this other girl's doing it and I do the same thing and people call me a copycat, or they call me out or tag her and say, oh, look, she's trying to copy you or do the same thing. Or this girl is like a, you know, like a half-assed version of this person over here. Like, yeah, that could happen. That did happen to me. And it happens to a lot of people. And it's okay, because a lot of times, well, not a lot of times, every time the person saying that to you is someone who is so afraid of getting started that they actually have to sabotage themselves by keeping you small. And so we have to remember that if there is somebody saying that, they're actually in such a place of stuckness that they are going to actually sabotage themselves by like trying to keep you small. That's how it works. And so you have to know that those people's opinions actually cannot matter. So if someone out there is doing it, what we have to remember is everyone is a consumer. So I want you guys to think about some products that you love. Let's talk about makeup, right? Let's look at the world of beauty and makeup. And if we said, okay, you know what? We just all need one version of makeup and we all need one ambassador for makeup and we just want one message for makeup. How pissed off would you be that they took away all of our choice, all of our connection to the brand? Like, this brand doesn't work for me, even though it works for her. I don't resonate with Kylie. I don't resonate with this person. I resonate with Jamie from It Cosmetics. Like, it's so incredibly important for us to know that you're going to put a little spin on something. We're not recreating the wheel. Nobody ever is. Like, even with the newest, craziest invention, I promise you that God is up there sprinkling that same idea to, you know, yes, Elon got the idea for the Tesla, but in China, someone else is getting, you know, an idea for Rivian at the same exact time. Like, it's not, I don't know if Rivian's made over there.
Yes. Tomato, tomato. Yeah. I get the point. Yeah.
But so there's a theory out there. Is it Plato? I might slaughter this, but there is a theory out there that ideas are literally up in the ether and it's just up to us to clear the channel and be bold enough and brave enough to receive the download of said idea. And one person does not get the idea alone. It's multiple, yeah, multiple people, because at the time in the universe, like right now, like with Glossy, there, yeah, is like, this idea was meant to come to be right now in this particular time in the world. And I just happen to be really working hard to stay open and clear my channel and look at what I needed. And when I say clear my channel, I just mean like take care of myself, move, yeah, energetically, try to eat better, be really open, say prayers, meditate, like be open to the ideas around me instead of closed off and in fear. That I think these ideas are swirling everywhere for people and they're just waiting for the person who's willing to receive it and birth it. Yeah. So you are just here to put your own spin on it, to say the message in the way that you say it. And yes, some people might call you a copycat. Please don't copy people like exactly what, yeah, they're doing. You have such a unique way of putting a spin on it that you don't need to copy people. Do not, yeah, rip off their content. Don't rip off what they're saying on their website. Like, think of your way of saying it. And even though you might think that that other person is saying it better, there's a reason why maybe you feel like you're not as smart. Because guess what? You're going to relate to the people who also don't talk that way and maybe, right, need it in a more simplistic way. Like, oh my God, Keisha, I will never forget when I was going into my first Bliss project. So my first big event with hundreds of women from all over. I'd never done an event before. I know you can relate to this. Yeah. I was comparing myself to like Gabby Bernstein. I was comparing myself to Dr. Joe Dispenza. Like, I don't know why I was choosing these people to compare myself to. I was comparing myself to, like, I was reading all these books on like quantum physics. And I was like, if I don't know how to teach this at this event and speak about this, then this event, like, I'm not good. Like, this is what people want to, yeah, hear. And so I hire this coach, like, a month or two before, and I'm like, I don't know what to say. You need to help me with my slides. So she's such an eloquent coach. And we like made all of these slides for all of my content, except none of the content was mine. It was like all what I wanted to be, someone that I wanted to be who I wasn't at all. And we had 3 days of content of me saying other people's words, where like to the point, Keisha, where I would not have been able to take my eyes off of the teleprompter that I had. Like, wow, nobody would have felt any of that content. It would have been so canned. It wasn't me. I didn't even know what I was teaching because I wasn't embodied at all. And so my assistant had all of this on her computer. I never downloaded it to mine. Don't ask me why. So like 3 days before my event, my assistant comes because we're going to run through the slides. She lost it all. Her computer crashed. 3 days before, wow, my event. 3 days of content. So guess what I had to do? Stay up all night long and create my own damn content. And it was the best thing that has ever happened to me, because if I would have gotten on that stage and regurgitated and tried to be someone else, you know, Keisha, that, yeah, that would have been a disaster. People would have felt it. It would have been horrible. I wouldn't have been embodied up there. It wouldn't have been truthful. It would have been like, I would have been teaching women how to be someone they're not. And we're already really fucking good at that. We don't need to do that again.
Oh my gosh. It's so real, because like when we're waiting to feel like we're qualified with all of the information, it just like really drowns out the sincerity and like the connection that we actually get from being real. And, you know, just coming off of a podcast mastermind that I hosted, this was the first thing that I had done postpartum. Mm-hmm. And I was so honest about all the questions that I have right now, rather than just the answers. I'm like, here's a lot of questions. Here's what I'm trying to figure out right now. Just like kind of like, there's where I'm at. Like, why don't you guys also answer each other's questions too? And it was like such a release. Like, for anyone listening into this, it's like, we don't need all of your answers. Like sometimes, and also Lori, you can attest to this, like for those wanting to create rooms, whether it's an intimate room or a larger room, it's like the curation of the room is the biggest gift. Like people aren't looking at you to be like, Lori, like everything she says is freaking perfect. Or Keisha, everything you say is perfect. It's like, no, that's the reason why, like, that's the reason why I connect with you so much too, is like, you don't pretend like your shit's together all the time. Cause if I want a version of that, like I just don't connect with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, even just recently when I texted you and I was like, you know, I'm like raising this money for this new venture. And I was like, Lori's done this. It's proof that I can too. Right. And I think that if we like hold that and we're honest about the fact that, you know, you had a season of your life, and I'd love if you could just speak to this, where like you were literally like petrified to even talk. I remember you telling me that like you didn't even want to give a speech at your own wedding, right? With like your family and friends. So how the hell does someone right now who has this gut feeling that maybe it is that they want to speak, or they are, they want to write a book, but they've never written anything, and they're telling themselves like, I have no proof from my past. Like, how do you honor, and how have you in different seasons honored this inner knowing that even though it doesn't make sense, like you didn't graduate high school, you didn't do XYZ, you didn't come from a family of entrepreneurs, enter all the reasons, like, how do you tap into that inner knowing then and this version of Lori?
Well, I think you have to let it be okay that you don't feel like you know. Like you you think that you want, you know, you can know you have the desire, and the desire, the desire is the first proof that you're meant to do it. Trust me, if you weren't meant to do it, you wouldn't have the desire. I know lots of people who do not have the desire, Keisha. You and me both know people who are like, yeah, you keep doing that, I never want to do that. Like, that's not who I am. So if you have the desire, it's proof. And also, if you have the desire to speak, it's probably because you're also meant to help other people speak. So it honestly, I frame things in a way that just always empowers me. So for me, I say to myself, I'm like, okay, how could I ever teach these people how to speak if I don't go through the process and the pain and the trouble and the learning as well. It's so funny when people, like, it's funny to me now, not funny, but it's funny to me now to look back and just think that things are supposed to be easy when ultimately the goal is really like to help people and teach people. If it were easy, you can't help them at all. Like literally at all. Cause it'd be like, oh, Keisha, you're raising money. It was so easy for me. I got nothing for you. Like it was the hardest, most largest personal development thing, and learning to deal with the anxiety of now having people's money and how to like compartmentalize that and like stay in your power through all of that. So I would say you have to know, like, it's okay to feel like it's like in your solar plexus and in your gut, you're like, this does not feel good. I think sometimes the more of a challenge something is, the bigger the call on that particular thing is. So if you're feeling a lot of, you know, just like stress and anxiety around it, great. There's going to be something real, real good on the other side of it. And it's up to you to document you working through it. And I think this is going to be a big way to not only connect, but feel a lot of support from people and connect to your audience. It's such an opportunity when we're feeling like a struggle to share the struggle in a powerful way. We don't have to be like, you know, I'm in pain again. It's like, here's how I'm feeling and here's how I'm going to cope with it. Have you ever felt this way? And I think, you know, the second, I think it's C.S. Lewis has a quote that's like, you know, the second you share something with someone or a struggle with someone and they say, me too, that's when the friendship begins. And that's when your connection with the audience begins. That's when you're, that's when you start to actually feel supported too and know that you're not alone and start to really feel that call around it. So I would say, you know, going back to where, when I started, for me, it was just, I needed mini proofs, like little tiny things. And because I did have so much anxiety and so many panic attacks, the very first place that I had to start growing up was like letting it be okay that that was something that was happening to me, and let go of thinking that there was a magic pill that was going to fix it. I, you know, my story around that, I'm not going to get too much into it, but I like went on three different types of prescription drugs, trying to think that it was just because I was born this way and I, you know, really struggled. I wanted someone to fix it for me. And the second that I accepted that no one could fix it for me, I had to do it myself in a healthy way. And not that if you have to do it in the other way, that's great. It's just for me, it, that wasn't working either. So I felt like I was just out of luck in all areas. And it was a very disempowered feeling for me to go, well, if this didn't work and someone said this was the magic pill, then I'm screwed. Like I must be broken. And so when I accepted that I wasn't broken and that this was just something that I was supposed to work through in my life to teach and deal with later and teach people how to get through it, then it was like I stopped looking at it as something is wrong with me and started looking at it as how do I do this and how can I like document and maybe like help someone later. And so it was really small things where, you know, like I would host a dinner with four women. And at the dinner, I just like, I was like, hey, ladies, I'd love to invite you all to dinner. I know some of you don't know each other. And little did people know that behind the scenes, like even just me standing up and facilitating or sitting down and talking about like, hey, okay, so I have three questions for the dinner. Here's what we're going to do. Like me facilitating that dinner gave me so much anxiety that I'm not going to lie. Like I drank so much wine at like that first dinner. I drank so much wine and beer back in the day, like around facilitating. I don't recommend this, but like at the time I'm letting you know what was going on with me. I was feeling so sick around just facilitating. And so I kept putting myself in these situations. And honestly, you can't just do them once every 3 months. You need to try to do them like once a month or once every 2 weeks, like putting yourself in these situations. Or what happens is if you only do them once every 3 months or once every 6 months, it's enough time to get the rust back and feel like you're at square one.
True.
So, you know, whether that's starting a podcast and you know, maybe only two people listen or 10 people listen, what you want is to find situations that create the experience of anxiety, even if it's small. You have to create the feeling that you're afraid of, and then you have to work through it in front of people you're comfortable with. So another thing was I always like say the elephant in the room. You know, the first time I got on a big stage, the only way for me to get through it was to be honest with the audience. I was like, look, I'm super nervous up here. We're going to close our eyes and we're actually going to do a little meditation. I'm going to play some music and I'm doing this for me. And I think that we're all going to collectively feel better after these 2 minutes. Let's do it. Okay. Like, or, hey, guess what, guys? Like, I'm so excited to be up here. Oh my God. I don't know about you, but imagine yourself up here right now. Like my heart is pounding. So guess what? You guys are going to take 2 minutes to meet each other. I'm going to catch my breath and then we'll be right back. I literally have done this in front of not just hundreds, but thousands of people because I need to have these little things in place and share the elephant in the room. Otherwise it's like, oh my God, can they hear that I'm nervous? Can they see that I'm shaking? And all that does is cause this like panic attack on stage of like, I have to hide it. What if I pass out and they didn't know why? Or, oh my God, you spiral into these fears. So I've always done these little things that help me feel comfortable and tell people where I'm at. And then you don't have to like try to hide something.
Yeah. And then people instantly like the likability, like you, that's the rootability too. Like, I feel like this is something that we don't talk about where like, there's a reason that like, I want to always root for you. Like, I love you as a person, Lori, but it's something about like the positioning. And I think all of us can like take a page out of this of like the people that you find yourself most connected to, they aren't pretending like their shit's together all the time because you can feel it. And like consumers, if you're selling a product or something too, like they can feel if you're being disingenuous because it's like, you know, like the slimy feeling, like you can just feel it. It's like, you're too polished or like people that are always talking about how great their marriage is. I was like, you got some shit going on behind closed doors for sure.
I hope you're loving this conversation with Lori. And I just wanted to share something because at the end of this episode, she talks a little bit about why she created her new company, Glossy, the product, and also just like the messy behind the scenes of creating a business because you know that's not always rainbows and butterflies. And it's really cool because I am so proud of her for what she's created, but I'm also really excited because I'm a consumer of this product. I bought it right when she launched because I wanted to support her. But when I actually tried it, and now that I've been using it, and so has my husband seen it for about 2 months now, I actually just love it. And it's like part of my routine. And if you're not familiar with Glossy yet, they call it like the skin routine that you can drink, but essentially it's a skin and gut daily beauty supplement. It's like an electrolyte packet is what it looks like. So you just like stir it in with your water and it tastes lemony, but not like sweet lemony. Cause you know, when you have something that just like tastes too sweet or too salty, the flavor is so nice. So obviously it's going to help you stay hydrated, but it's got a clinically studied probiotic in it. And it's got a bunch of good stuff like zinc and magnesium and vitamin C and coconut water and all of these good things. But I really like it as something to have like first thing in the morning or just when I want like a little afternoon pick me up, but I don't want to have caffeine. I just love like adding in different beverages if you're a beverage girl like me. And on top of that, it's like it's helping with gut support, which everybody wants that. And also just helping with your skin feeling so much better. And right now I need to be hydrated. I personally am breastfeeding and I'm not sleeping enough because I'm in the new mom era, but especially when you're traveling and also just out in the sun, like I'm just thinking like, how can you get yourself more hydrated? This is going to help in a huge way. So honestly, check it out. If you haven't yet, you've got to try it. And I just think you're going to fall in love with the taste of it too. You can head to getglossy.com. So that's GETGLOCI.com. Use code Kacia, KACIA, for a sweet discount on the products. And you'll hear Lori talk about it a little bit later in the episode, but I just wanted to personally plug this because, you know, on this podcast, especially if you've been here for a while, I do not talk about products that I don't personally use and love, even if it's a friend's product. So I wanted to actually be using this for a while before I even shared it on the show. But now I can say full stamp of approval for me on Glossy. So without further ado, let's dive right back in. When you were in network marketing, right? Back in the day, long time ago, but it's like crushing it in network marketing, like making tons of money. You could have easily stayed in that, but something was pulling you to step into like, I want to create my own like memberships and courses and all the other stuff that you did. How did you get yourself to go from something that on paper made sense to something that was a complete unknown where you had to also then start at the bottom and build your way up from there?
Oh, I think that we always know. I think that sometimes those feelings of knowing can be blurred a little bit with either the times when I've had to figure out what the feeling is. It's either because maybe I need to stay in something longer and something got challenging and I'm like, oh, I should just leave this. I don't feel like it's aligned anymore. Okay, well, you have to explore that feeling because sometimes the feeling of what a lot of people I know have called misalignment is just the feeling of being uncomfortable or of, you know, maybe needing to stay longer in that thing, thinking it's failing, but actually you should get the data and do some learning and do some resetting and readjusting and relaunching. Because there is a lot of magic in the mundane. But what, for me with network marketing, it had always felt like, and honestly, the reason that I got into it too, is it felt like the perfect like seed and platform and way to fund other things that I wanted to do. It was also one of the most freaking amazing experiences for learning about like business and working with such a diverse amount of people. Chris and I always say that network marketing is like holding an open hiring for like your company and like having hundreds of people show up and hiring every single one of them, no matter who they are. And then trying to figure out how to work with people that you never would have hired if you interviewed them. And so it's like, it's serious. It's intense. Whenever people kind of, there's some people who give, you know, network marketing like a bad rap. I'm like, it's like the best. It's the one of the best things I've ever done. And I think if people are just starting a business, I think that it's so smart to start there. Like go get your toes wet, like in something that doesn't have so much risk, you know, go figure that out. Go learn about people. Let me just tell you, like the biggest thing about network marketing was it allowed me to really understand how to lead people. And if I wouldn't have had that experience, I think I would have just bombed in my own personal companies because I didn't know how to be a leader yet.
And it's also like for some people, it's funny because, you know, like it gets a bad rap, but it's like, it's also a gateway drug for another like way to put it into entrepreneurship where you learn so many skills that are applicable now where you can look back and you're like, I'm grateful for that version. Even if that chapter has closed, which is the way that I feel about it too.
Totally.
Is like, I'm not interested in doing that anymore, but gosh, I'm so grateful for it to like getting me to this place now. And I know for me, when I knew that it was time to leave that, and obviously not everyone listening is going to have that experience, but when this inner knowing of like, it's time to leave something, to go to something else, when that comes up, I remember trying to like shove it down, like whack-a-mole, like, no, you're fine. Just keep doing the thing. And it's like trying to shove it down. But you can only shove it down for so long because it's just going to spew out in the most like random places or probably on like your significant other where you're like, why'd you leave the mustard here in the fridge? And it's like, this has nothing to do with the mustard. It has everything to do with the fact that I'm like in something that like has expired.
Yep.
So for someone that's feeling like whatever it is that they're doing right now, like they kind of just like internally know that the time has expired there. What would you say to them? Literally, if they're like, Lori, I know, like Kate, Lori, I know that I need to leave, but like, fuck, I'm scared.
Okay. There's a couple things because people, depending on how you are and what sits better with you, you're going to approach this from two different ways. For me, I've always wanted to like, when I feel that feeling, I just want to tear the Band-Aid off and jump into the next thing.
Yeah.
Thank God for my husband though, that he's always like, hey, what we need to do is set a goal. We need to look at the finances. We need to set a goal of like, okay, I'm going to start this thing on the side. And as soon as it hits this number is when I can start to shut down the other thing. And you know, there are some people who, if you have the funds in life and that feels okay to like kind of shut down the other thing and go, great. But I do think there's a lot more power in the ladder in doing like a slow transition. There's a couple reasons for that. Number one, you want to bring your audience with you. You don't want to do that thing where it's like, hey, I'm back. Sorry, I was off the internet for a while. Now I'm a totally different person. I don't talk about that other stuff anymore. Ew, yeah. I don't want it. I'm not network marketing anymore. Like that is such a turnoff to people. You're not only turning off the network marketing audience who could have come with you in a certain way to your next thing, but these other people are like, dude, you're not, you don't know what you're talking about yet. Like you're new in this industry. You don't even actually understand this. We see that you just came from there. Like this overnight thing feels shitty to people. So yeah. I think it's really important to bring people with on the mess, which should be a really big relief to people that like the second you start thinking you want to do something else, put that thought out there. Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, you guys. So I love what I'm doing, but I'm also really, really feeling a call to this other thing. Does anybody else feel this way? You know, I'm feeling this way. What would it look like if I started like a monthly Zoom call for free to start talking about like what it looks like to kind of transition into this new thing? Like document the journey and bring people with you and set a financial goal on the quote unquote side hustle or thing that you want to go into, or a numbers goal of like how many people you want on an email list or in a text list or whatever that looks like. And make yourself work towards that in order to hit it so that you can start letting go of the other thing. And I just think the biggest advice I can give anyone is don't ever poo-poo what you did and where you came from and what industry that was. There's somebody who wants to follow you into the next thing and you're going to turn them off. Or there's somebody, you know, who is like looking for someone to like blaze that trail for them. Or there's someone in the future thing that might be going to the old thing that you just left behind. And everything is so purposeful in your journey. And I know sometimes it's hard to look at it that way when you're just feeling like you're over it. But now I can just see how how important every single stop on my path was.
Mm-hmm. So good. Okay. I want to talk about, while it isn't necessarily pretty recent, of when you're going down the path of building what was formerly called Light Pink, and you've got 54 female investors, you've got a shit ton of money that you've just raised from people that you really care about, and you're going down this path, and there's like, I don't even know, like a can crisis with COVID and all sorts of stuff is happening, and you realize, shit, I've worked my butt off to get to this point where I was building this company. I've enrolled people in this vision. I've got all of these other people's money. And now I have to pivot to what now we know, because, you know, like Steve Jobs, like you can connect the dots looking backwards. Now we know it's aligned and we'll get to that. But like in the moment when you realize like this is not possible for me to continue moving forward, talk to us about how that felt, how you supported yourself, and then how you even just like got yourself hyped to go pivot in a massive way. I just unpack that a little.
I mean, the pandemic was not nice to anyone, but it especially wasn't nice to startups of actual physical products and like manufacturing and co-packing. So what's happening is you're hiring all these teams who also are afraid of what's coming. So they want to take your job meaning they want to take that money to make sure that they're working and they're going to go work. But little do you know that even though they're out there working, there's not going to be a yes that's going to come. So, you know, they did go out there and they did hustle, but you're spending all this time and money on hustling that's not going to get a yes, because little did any of us know that, you know, all of these co-packers and manufacturers on the back end were talking about closing down or limiting people, or you can try all day, but you're never going to find this product, even if you go through 300 phone calls and you've paid a team to do this. Like, so we had ended up spending so much money trying to piece together this company, where also all of a sudden you'll get a quote back 1 week and you're like, great, this is wonderful. And by the time you say yes, they're like, well, it's doubled because guess what? Like, we have to pay these people this much in order to come in, or the price of aluminum has gone up this much, or guess what? Minimum order quantities, which means, like, for example, I was looking at these bronze lids that I wanted, and it went from, like, I don't know, 10,000 minimum order quantity, which is totally doable for a startup, to 1 million minimum order quantity. So, like, it's knocking everybody out. Like, I can't pay for that, because what if we're not going to burn through that? I don't have a warehouse that can stock that. It costs a ton of money for them to even hold that for me. Like, there's so many things that I was just learning that's like, it knocked out all of my margins.
Well, and Lori, like, for context for people that don't understand, you also, like, didn't even know, like, how to store things in a warehouse. Like, all of this was brand new. And I think for anyone that doesn't know, it's like, this was an alcoholic beverage company.
Oh, yes.
And you had never done this before. You had absolutely no idea. You're literally, like, calling everyone to, like, get advice. And, like, you've gotten it to this point. So, like, walk us through, like, when you, like, realized, like, when you were like, okay, this is, we can't go forward. Like, all of these roadblocks, you're trying to navigate all of this, and it's like, crap, like, we can't do this anymore. What did that feel like first? And then, like, how did you not just, like, say, like, here, I'm just going to, like, sell something and, like, give all the money back to the investors? Like, what were you thinking?
Oh my gosh. Well, this is advice that people really need to heed if they're in this position, if they're like, oh my God, I don't know. Like, I feel like my business is going down faster than I can even stay ahead of. Go get someone who is doing well or is way ahead of you and be really vulnerable and be like, could I just have an hour of your time? Can you look at my numbers? Can you look at the interworkings of my business and tell me, do I have a viable business here? And so I found an expert, and it was the most vulnerable thing I've ever done, because I wanted this. What happens is you don't want to tell them because you want the expert to help you. And you feel like if your business isn't doing well, that they won't help you, meaning like you hope that they'll help you get out in the world. And so I met this woman who was just an expert in the industry, and I was like, well, screw it, because we got to figure this shit out fast. So I had her look at, like, I was like, this is where I'm at. This is like what's going on. And she was like, I was like, do I have a viable business? And she's like, no, not unless you want to raise $10 million more, be in the fundraising game for like the rest of this company and potentially never run a profitable company. You might always be raising money and work in the red, and you're going to need to hire all of these experts. And then you're going to need to like hire retail teams and sales teams. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, my skill set is nowhere in here. So the exact reason why I wanted to get started was about connecting women, creating this ambassador program, creating a product that we love and can connect around. And then it turned into this totally different game of a product that I had no idea I was in over my head. And so I was like, oh God, we need to do a hard pivot. And also some other things happened with licensing, where all of a sudden they wanted every single investor's fingerprints. And I was like, okay, well, they're not going to do that. So like, investors had already told me they weren't going to do it. So I was like, looks like we need to pivot. And at that point, you know, we were already $1 million into setting this up. Like, my legal fees were like $250K, like, just to, and we weren't even officially there yet, like, to what I needed set up with, like, licensing wise. And so it's just, all of the things I would go back and tell myself is like, go get those experts long before you even get to that point. Like, really look at the industry that you're starting in. What are those startup costs legally? Is there a lot of red tape? But you know, what happened in that moment was it just became really clear. So I talked to her, the fingerprint thing happened. Like, I don't know if it was the same week, but it was right around that time. And I hear like audible voices when I'm asking for help, and it doesn't come right away at all. But I was like, God, I need your help. Like, I thought that you gave this vision to me. I followed through. I got it to here. Like, what's going on? Like, you've stopped talking to me. I'm not getting inspired anymore. I'm feeling really stuck. I've never felt this way. It was like a year where I just was like not feeling any connection to source. It was crazy. And I was like, I need your help. Like, I can't, this is all yours now. I'm offering this up to you. I literally don't know what to do. And a little while after that, I get this phrase, don't ask me why. Apparently God speaks to me in funny ways, but it was like, turn the Titanic. And it wasn't just that phrase. It was about, so what that meant to me, like what the vision I saw was when I heard that, it was like middle of the night. And it was, you're the captain of the ship. And everybody got on the ship, not because of the destination, like truly the Titanic. They didn't care where they were going. They were getting on because of this experience on the ship and what they were going to experience within, like with each other on the ship, what was going on, the community, like the camaraderie, the everything that was happening on that particular ship. And it was like the captain can see the iceberg. And does he get so attached to going, well, sorry, the iceberg's in the way of this destination, so we got to hit it. And we're going to go down. No, if you see that, you can't get stuck on saying to the people like, oh God, I know you wanted to go to this destination. I'm so sorry. Like, you need to turn the ship, not care, recast that vision to the people on the ship and be like, look, we're doing the same thing. We're just going in a different direction. And so that was a full cellular like download for me of, you're doing the same thing, but now you're going to go in a direction that's actually more aligned for everybody, because so much has changed during this time in history. And so I just did a hard turn where I couldn't tell people externally, you can't do that with a product. You have to like get your shit together behind the scenes, start to figure out how you're going to tell an empowering story, not a disempowering story. Get people re-excited again, recast that vision, tell them why it's even better than it was before. And so there was so much going on behind the scenes where I was like, it's like, you feel like you're crumbling while you also simultaneously have to learn how to rebuild yourself back up and get yourself into a person who can handle doing that. Like, you can't crumble publicly. You can't. So this is why I'm so passionate about, I had the most beautiful community at this point in my life. Like, I am literally going to write a book about this. Like, why these communities are so important and how to use them is, I would have been a mess. This would have failed so hard without that group of people who I got to go fall apart in front of and help me piece the pieces back together to the woman that I am right now. And I'm telling you, I could not have paid for this transformation and this version of myself that I am so grateful for, who is the woman who survived that. And I couldn't have done it without 20 of the women who helped rebuild me.
Yeah. I think that's so powerful for people to hear right at this moment too, because if you're in the midst of one of those like seasons where you're just like, what the F? Like, when is this ever going to make sense, right? When am I ever going to like get to the end of this? Just to remind yourself that there will be a future version of you. We can't tell you when and what you're going to have to go through, but there will be a future version of you that's going to look back on this version of you now and be like, damn, like, look how far you've come and look at the woman that you've built.
Yeah.
So on a positive note, as I'm sitting here literally drinking my glossy while I'm talking to you, just like thinking about how awesome this is. So now we pivoted.
Yep.
And you built a company that, like, it is so obvious how freaking pumped you are. I mean, I'm obsessed with the product. I love the product personally. Both Sina and I are obsessed with it. But like, tell us about glossy. Tell us like what made you decide like this was the thing.
It's for skin and gut. And the way that we came to skin and gut was, I knew that I wanted something that was going to be in a vehicle of like a hydration packet, because for me, that's always been the easiest way for me to consume a supplement. And you guys, I have a health and wellness background. I have been in the supplement world forever. And so I've got a lot of qualms with like what I like and what I don't like about the supplement world. And I'm like, I can't do another pill. Like, I literally, we all have enough hard pills to swallow. Let's just like, get something that makes us drink more water. And so for me, I always did hydration packets to make myself drink more water, because we know as women, we're like, I know I should drink my water. I know it's going to make me feel better. I know it helps my mood. I know it, you know, helps. I know that it like helps with my skin. I know it's just, it's going to help everything, but we struggle. So I was like a toddler. I always wanted something flavored, except I'm standing in front of all these hydration packets and I'm reading them and I'm like, I'm just paying for really expensive sugar and salt. Like, yes, there's some electrolytes in here, but what else is this doing? Why am I paying $45 for this? Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And so I just feel like a girl standing in front of a hydration packet, like telling it to do more. Like, please just do more for me. And so this is where this came from. I'm like, why isn't this doing more? And what would I want it to do? And so our friend from Boss Babe, Natalie Ellis, I had asked her, can I put a survey in your group? And then I'm going to put a survey out to my group. And then I asked some other friends, can I put a survey in your group of if you could have like this packet do anything for you, how would you want to feel? And they all wrote back, I want to feel lighter. I want to feel hydrated. I want my skin to glow. Those were like the top main ones. Like they'd want something that also like makes them feel like they look good. So I'm like, oh, go figure. Women want to look good and feel good. Okay, got it. We had to break down what feel lighter means, because a lot of them were like, I just want to feel like better in my body. I want to feel lighter. I don't want to feel bloated. So when we asked deeper on that, it was, they don't want to feel bloated. They feel like they're not digesting their food well. They just feel like maybe they're not absorbing their nutrients as well. So there was just a lot around digestion and gut. And then the thing with skin was they just wanted to they wanted to know their water was like hydrating them and that it could make them, their skin look more supple or plump or glow. They didn't want to look dull.
Yeah.
And so we went really deep on those things and we found this probiotic. We worked with this incredible team who I'm like, look, I've been in network marketing for over 15 years. Here's one thing I know about a product. If it doesn't work, if people don't like feel it or see it, or they don't like tangibly have an experience or love it because of the flavor, we're going to be out in 2 weeks. Like no one's going to want to take this in 2 weeks. They're going to have a bunch of stuff around. They're going to be resentful that they have these packets left over. And so I was like, I only want to talk about ingredients that are going to make people feel something. So I don't need 7,200 ingredients in there. I want like 8 that are at like the highest dose we can do for feeling like they're going to feel a difference. And I want to make sure it works on these things. So they had brought me a few different things. And one of them was this probiotic from this amazing company who is just focused on probiotics, like probiotics alone, essentially.
Yeah.
Like all of their research, all of their studies. They have 30 clinical studies. I think they might have more now because that's what they're doing. They're trying to be the best probiotic on the market. And then we also did hyaluronic acid, which is really responsible for like the suppleness of your skin, like how much hydration it's going to keep. And then we have prickly pear, which has prebiotic elements to it and a lot of fiber. And that's really huge for your gut. And that's huge for not feeling bloated. And that's huge for digestion. And the term for that is actually Nepal cactus. So you can look up that one and all the different things that it does just for wellness as well. And then there's vitamin C in there, which is helps you create your own collagen. And most people don't know that your body obviously creates collagen, but you can't create it without having vitamin C present in your body. And because we don't create vitamin C, we have to supplement it. So that's why vitamin C is so important to take if you're into your skin. So not just topically, you actually have to ingest it in order for your body to make its own collagen. So we can ingest collagen, but we can also help our body boost it by making it. And then we have magnesium and we have zinc and we have coconut water powder and we have a little bit of sea salt. So we have the hydrating element. We have zinc again with the immune element and also for the skin. So that's what we all have in there. And we're super excited about it because of how people are feeling.
And it's also like, this is not part of this, but as a breastfeeding like mom who's like keeping a tiny human alive, like having something that also tastes good that can keep you hydrated and makes you just like feel good. I'm so freaking proud of you. And just to hear you geek out on all of like the nutrients in it and stuff, like it just like you care about this so much and like you put your whole heart into everything that you do. And like it, yes, it like tastes effing good. And all of these components, I'm so excited for you. And I'm so pumped to just like help support getting the message out about this. Let people try it, because like that's the thing, to try it and see what you think and see how it impacts your life. So Lori, where can they find it and yeah, let them know all the things.
Well, it's at getglossy.com. Do you have your 15, do you have your coupon code? What's your 15% off coupon code?
It's code Keisha saves you 15% off too. So Lori, I love you. I'm so damn proud of you. I think this conversation is so beautiful for people to just to hear about all of these different moments along the way to get you to this point. And now I'm just so excited to support and pump you up in any way, because like so much work went into creating this. Like, it's not like you just were like, let me create a supplement. It's like, no. Like, you made this something that you would actually want, which is another lesson for everyone to take from this episode. You did market research. You didn't just create something behind closed doors and cross your fingers and hope that everyone wanted it. Like, you found out what the people that you're most excited to serve actually wanted. And then you went and found the best way to create it. And I'm just so excited. And I'm so proud of you. So let's go getglossy.com, snag yours, use code Keisha. Lori, thank you so much. I love you, girl.
Thank you so much for having me. That means so much.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you love this episode, it would mean so much to me if you shared it with a girlfriend. Like, send it to her right now or post it on social media and tag me so I can personally thank you for helping me get the message out. I am so freaking grateful to be on this journey with you, girl. So until next time, I'll talk to you soon.